Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here to discuss war breaking out.
Yeah.
Barack Obama has found his gonads and has decided that he is going to declare war on Arizona.
Yes. He did that.
What?
Sick holder on him.
Oh, no. You know, it was bad enough when he, declared war on the Cambridge police.
Yeah.
That went over so well.
Sure. Well, it got him a beer out of it.
Now he's going to declare war on Arizona.
Jeez. Arizona with a 70% approval rating from its voters.
What? He doesn't look at polls? What's the matter with you? He doesn't look at polls? Polls are irrelevant.
I see. Okay, fine.
Ideology.
Uh-huh.
He's going to stand for something even if it requires somebody else to hold him up.
Yeah, there you go. I wondered what that hole in his back was for.
No, I don't go there.
No?
No. People played that stupid game with, Bush and Cheney.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was crazy.
Well, it was.
By the way, if it sounds like I'm chewing on something.
You are.
I have my favorite snack in the world.
Ooh, what would that be?
And I try to limit myself to this snack only two or three times a year.
Whoa.
Because I can sit here and eat a pound of it, no problem.
Uh-oh.
Spice drops.
Spice drops. Okay, I'll bite. What are spice drops?
You know what spice drops are. They're the little peggy things that look like a little dome. They're sugar covered and they're gels. They have different flavors, different colors.
Okay.
You probably
are they are like jujubes or what?
Well, they're not as damaging as jujubes.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So. But spice drops are, they're kind of fruit flavored with a little zing to them.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are. They're nice.
Well, if they're fruit flavored, they have to be good for you.
And it's sugar, and there's nothing wrong with sugar.
No. My hummingbirds eat it up.
I actually have also a piece of carrot cake here too. That's actual dessert.
Ooh.
Carrot cake I like.
Yeah.
I like carrot.
Yeah,
and, I looked at it. I've been to the store three times in the last 2 weeks, and I looked at it all three times, and I finally did it today.
Cool.
With my spice drops.
Yeah.
So I'm having a picking out evening tonight. It's one of those things. Let's go back to the dessert has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
The Barack Obama in Arizona. Yeah, I mean, come on. 70% of the people think. I do have one. No, I was going to say I had one issue because of the way the law was worded. I would like to say probable cause. But my problem with probable cause is that you're suggesting that because somebody is Hispanic that there's probable cause that they're illegal. Whereas they said a reasonable suspicion, is something there. But of course, here's the deal. They can't stop you for that.
No, they absolutely cannot stop you for that.
they have to stop you for some other reason. You know, the tags are out of date, the headlight is broken, you know, you didn't signal when you're supposed to, when you're turning, you blew a stop sign. Any of those things are enough to do it. And then, you know, if the person you pull over doesn't have a driver's license, can't speak English, and when you ask him where he lives, he looks at you with this dumb face and starts pointing south, you know, then you might have a reasonable suspicion that there might be a question about their, you know,
about their citizenship.
About their citizenship. And I don't have any problem with that. And, of course, here's the problem. You know, everybody, I said this today, everybody that has a big problem with the Arizona immigration law would have a lot more credibility if they weren't for illegal immigrants being here to begin with.
Well, they would also have a better argument if they were equally against having to show proof of your health insurance to avoid an IRS fine.
Well, you know, they're consistent in the fact that they don't want you to show an ID to vote.
Oh, boy. That is kind of a pet peeve. I mean, you know, I have to show ID to register to vote. I have to show ID to cash a check. I have to show ID to use a credit card. I don't know what the big hang-up is about showing an ID.
I don't have to show an ID to vote in Wisconsin.
Oh, I don't have to show one to vote.
Because I'm already registered and I'm on the rolls.
Right.
Okay. If I was not registered, I would have to show an ID to vote.
Yes.
Because I got to show that I actually live in the community. Although Wisconsin's kind of funky about that.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like that process, so they've made it, you can show them, you know, a library card, which doesn't have a photo.
No, sure does not.
You know, you can show them that you have a library card, you know, with your name on it, and that they consider that to be proof of personhood.
Really?
It doesn't even prove where you live. I mean, it just proves that, you know, you got a library card.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get a library card, you actually have to show ID and a form of identification that says this is where you live.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It takes more to get a library card in this state than it does to vote.
Oh, man. Isn't that a shame? That's just, God, that's terrible.
Come on. Okay, so Obama takes it upon himself to go all nutsoid about Arizona's immigration law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a losing battle for him because, as you said, 70% of the people in Arizona and like 60% of the people in the rest of the country going like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Uh-huh.
What's the problem?
Yep.
No.
Hey, wasn't it interesting, and I caught the clip of Holder talking about the Arizona immigration law.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me that he did not come out and say that it was illegal.
Oh, well, he'd be stupid if he did.
Well, yes, he would. He said it was misguided, which is parroting Obama, but he did not come out and say it was stupid. The other interesting clip that I heard today was the former governor of Arizona, now head of health of Homeland Security, Napolitano. And she said, and I think I'm quoting here, she said, the Arizona-Mexico border is as secure as it has ever been. And I thought to myself, what are you saying there? That it's never been secure? And I think that's what she was saying. I think she parsed her words very carefully.
Well, you're suggesting that she actually, so anybody that was actually that actually pays attention and has a brain, she was going, fucking idiots?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So at this point, it's going to go to the courts, depending on what court it goes to. We'll kind of determine where it goes from there. And I suspect that they're going to try and fast-track it into the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Which would actually be appropriate if the federal government, as opposed to some private citizens group, brings the suit, because then the federal government is suing a state.
The only reason, in my opinion, that the federal government could bring Arizona in is if it can prove that Arizona is infringing upon a citizen's rights.
Okay.
I
think it's hard to prove that because basically it just mimicked the federal law. But
right.
Oh well.
This is much ado about nothing, I think. This is going to go exactly the same place as Waxman's call to the companies going, hey, come in here and explain why you're taking these billions of dollars worth of charge-offs.
Yep.
We've heard lots about those hearings, haven't we?
Oh, man. Hey, did you happen to catch any of that today, that hearing?
Which hearing? The financial one?
Yeah. What a potty mouth on that Senator Levin.
Oh, well, I heard words from people that I trust as far as economics is concerned about the testimony from Goldman Sachs, and they were just beside themselves about how arrogant GS was.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody that's on the other side was just all kinds of upset about the language that was going on, and I did not know what was going on as far as that, but if there was potty mouth going on. And I'm just sitting here, this is the question I ask. Ever wonder why the congressional sergeant at arms doesn't have the right to go just over and slap somebody?
Yeah. Very good.
And that's might apply to senator, to congressmen or, people that are like, okay, asshole.
Yeah. Hey. Pow. Yeah,
pay
like
attention
that.
To where you're doing here. And,
I said it
a second ago. Actually, this is it was a conversation I was having with somebody privately today about the idea of swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't monitored myself too closely on this show. So people have heard a pretty normal mouth for me as far as talking is concerned. And so hearing an occasional swear word is a perfectly normal thing coming out of me. Victoria finds it to be uncouth.
Mm-hmm.
To be the sign of a bore. To be ill-mannered. Uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, ah, fuck that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I was raised on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Swearing to Irish in Chicago is like moving your hands to Italians.
Okay.
They cannot speak without moving their hands. We cannot speak without swearing.
Hmm.
It's exactly the same thing.
Hmm.
And then somebody else said something about, about getting drunk.
And
I said, I've said this on the show before. I'm going to say it again. Irish people are very much aware of the earth. We're very eco-conscious. Very eco-conscious.
Okay.
Because as long as we can hold on to the grass and not fall off the earth, we're not drunk.
Hey, there you go. That's as good a test as any.
So we're always wanting to make sure that grass is firm. Somebody else came up with this idea. There's this something else going on. California, have you heard this? Californians for population stability.
I have not heard that one. I saw your earlier tweet on that, but I had no clue as to what it was talking about.
Okay. Now, that population stability. People, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in population stability, okay?
Nope.
First of all, in this country, there's absolutely no reason for limiting population growth.
Exactly.
None. Zero. And for anybody that that hasn't gotten this before, okay, we can fit the entire population of the entire planet into Texas.
Yep. 2,400 square feet per person.
At a population density that is, you can find in every major city in this country.
Exactly.
You know, at less than 25,000 people per square mile, which is a perfectly ordinary, you know, city. I'm not talking about the densest part of the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can fit every single human being on the planet into Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. We have plenty of room.
Absolutely.
You
betcha.
Now, of course, somebody said that's a whole lot of poop to try and get rid of out of Texas.
Well, that's true.
But there's a lot of cattle in Texas, and Texans are used to getting rid of poop.
Yes, they are.
So I'm not worried about it.
No, no. They'll figure it out.
A little bit of fertilizer.
There you go. probably ship it up to Oklahoma and farm that. I don't know. Something.
Apparently this program is to how to get rid of the illegals from California.
Uh-huh.
And now, one, I'm for that general idea that the illegals shouldn't be in there.
Yep.
You know, but getting rid of all the illegals out of California is
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, sticking a needle into a balloon.
That's an interesting analogy. Explain that.
Well, I mean, you know, California would empty itself out if, you know, 3 million illegals left today. There'd be quite a little vacuum there. I'm not suggesting to you that we shouldn't get rid of them, but an orderly process is probably much better than just, you know. What I don't want to have happen is what happened when all those, you know, people were protesting in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think everybody's seen video for it at this point. You know, all these people that came to protest, you know, the law, and then she just took it out and signed it, and they all turned and ran.
Yeah, yeah.
Head for the hill!
Oh, no. Look out. INS is here.
I don't think it'd be a really good idea to have, you know, 3 million illegals, you know, try to empty out of California in, you know, a short period of time.
Nah, I'd give them 90 days.
Oh, how nice.
Well, that's, you know, a longish period.
90 days starting June 1st.
Sure. That works. Yeah. Gives them a chance
to
get used to the idea.
And everybody has, you know, unfortunately, people have a big problem with me when it comes to illegal immigration. Okay?
Hmm.
They can give me all kinds of crap about illegal immigration, but given that I am first born of legal immigrants to this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't give a squat's ass what kind of excuse you want to make. You know,
yeah.
My family did it the right way, so get out of there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody objects to legal immigration, or at least nobody that counts.
I don't mind it. I think it's a great idea.
I love the idea. It means we screen them. It means we get the professions that we want to have in here. It means that there is some financial stability there. But when you start talking about illegal aliens, now you've got a different kettle of fish. They're poorer. Typically, they may have a heck of a work ethic, but you know what? Those are jobs that Americans would do.
Well, you
and
know, somebody said, you know, as soon as we see a bunch of people lined up ready to pick strawberries, then we'll think. I'm like, you know, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
It is really beside the point. You know,
yep.
What are we going to do? When somebody breaks into Walmart, we'll go, oh, we'll give them a job.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's really a false argument. I mean, are there people that would pick strawberries for what illegal aliens do it for now? Yeah, probably not. Not realistically. But that only means that the price clearing mechanism hasn't worked yet.
Well, I asked, you know, so you're for sweatshops in another country?
Sure.
Oh, of course they
I don't have a problem with them.
I don't. You know, somebody tried to get into the idea that that we should be telling other countries how to treat their workers. And I'm like, yeah,
nah. I mean, if the situation becomes intolerable enough in some third country, then the people there will take it into their own hands to rectify that. I mean, that's what will happen. They don't
well,
need
you know,
to come
the problem
here.
Is that people will say that it doesn't happen fast enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, define fast enough for me.
Well, sometime in the next, you know, 10 years.
It'll happen faster if my 90-day deadline goes into effect.
You know, Mexico doesn't want them back. Their economy would crash without all the gringo money coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. Second largest earner of foreign exchange. First behind petrol, oil. That's amazing. Remittances from the United States to Mexico is the second largest earner of foreign exchange. That's amazing.
You know,
and not sustainable.
It's not, you know, my look at it is, you know, exactly what currency does the Mexican government work on?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's dollars.
Apparently.
CJ, changing topic just a little bit.
Sure.
CJ asked me today, you may have seen this, I posted this earlier on. CJ asked me today, because CJ and I talk lots about liberals and conservatives.
Uh-huh.
She's in a school full of liberals, and people are beginning to get the idea that she's not.
Oh, God. Okay, fine.
Because she's not afraid of telling somebody when they say something stupid that it was stupid.
Uh-huh.
She said to
Good
me yesterday, she goes, I think people listen to me when I say something and I change people's minds. Why? She goes, I don't know, people are starting to agree with me more.
Uh-huh.
Like, natural leader, what can I say?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, jeez.
You know, an opinion
cool.
leader at 15. She asked me the question today, she goes, is it more common for liberals to become conservatives or conservatives to become liberals?
Off the top of my head, I would say it's probably more common for a liberal to become a conservative than vice versa. But I got absolutely no stats to back that up.
Well, I don't have
just
any
appeal.
Stats either, but I would certainly say so.
Yeah.
And the reason I said to her is most people are liberal. Because they want to care for other people. They want to do nice things for other people.
Yes, they do.
Take care of other people. I said, after a while, like 10 or 15 years of doing that, and you realize that, one, the people you're trying to help don't give a squat's ass that you're helping.
Yep, absolutely.
Two, take it for granted, like, you know, you gave me $1,000 last week. Why aren't you giving me $1,000 this week?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And three, most people are going to, you know, try to bite the hand that feeds them rather than, you know, lick it. And
mm-hmm.
you know, after a while, they get tired of doing that.
Yes, they do.
You know, all those things happen, and eventually they get tired of doing it, and they say, ah, screw them. You know, now they're on their own, and, of course, now they've become a conservative.
That's true. That does not explain the phenomena of people that are liberals up into their 50s and 60s. And I have no explanation for that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely. Not a problem. I can explain that in two sentences.
Not government workers.
Not government workers.
Okay.
The average person. Okay. The average liberal that stays a liberal into their 50s and 60s does so because whatever they say they are for, they don't
mm-hmm.
actually do that. So while they are for helping, you know, down and out and drug addicts and the poor, they
mm-hmm.
don't actually do any of those things.
You know what? You may have stumbled across something there. And I know that I have told this story before, but I will tell it once again. some number of years ago, my brother was living in Houston, I think. Youngest brother. 10 years between he and I, so he's 57 at this point. So some years ago, he was living in Houston, and we got on the subject of homeless people. And he said, you know what? I was walking down the street, and I saw this poor old homeless guy sitting there in a doorway. And I looked at him, and I said, Rusty, what was his name? And he couldn't answer me. And he didn't pick him up, and he didn't get him a breakfast or a lunch or whatever. He didn't do anything. He just complained that this poor old homeless person was sitting there in a doorway. So you may be onto something. They do not, in fact, practice what they preach.
Right. That's the deal. There's no cost to them to preach it. And as long as they can preach it and make themselves feel good, and everybody
mm-hmm.
gives them a pat on the back for saying it,
mm-hmm.
if they
mm-hmm.
don't do it, they can keep. They'll just keep doing it for a long, long time.
And get those pats on the back.
Get those pats on the back.
There you go.
And nothing has to happen in there, because in their real life, they certainly would never do any such thing.
No.
You know,
absolutely not. Would not want to one-on-one help anybody. Oh, no. That's not their job.
That's government's job.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, somebody ought to take care of all the homeless people around here.
That's exactly right. And I nominate you.
I've told my stories about the beggar and, you know, the food beggar and the money beggar. And, you know, I understand there's people out there that are really hurting. And let me tell you, most of them call us on the office phone every day.
Yep.
You know, we get lots of people calling. Things are in bad, bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, we try to help.
Yep.
We get paid for that help.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. We do get paid for that help.
Yep.
But so do doctors. So do
doctors.
So do police.
But they don't have to be poor. I mean, there's a lady on Twitter called Cat in Florida. And you really ought to click through on her story. And it involves SunTrust Bank and a construction permanent loan. And SunTrust Bank screwed her over so badly that she now has a $1.2 million home that is not finished. All of the money is gone, and it's going to take another $800,000 to finish it. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't just happen to homeless people. It doesn't just happen to poor people. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. Bad things can happen to you. And I have no idea how this lady's story is going to turn out. I truly don't. Apparently, SunTrust.
She's probably Christian.
Probably.
That was one of the things that I used to make, and I'm sorry if I make fun of you, Christian.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to make a little bit of poking at you here a little bit. It's one of the things that, you know, I noticed that when I was a Christian, that, you know, lots of bad things happen to Christian people. And, of course, Christians would say, well, that's God's way of testing us.
And I'm
sitting there like going, and what about all the people that are not Christian that God doesn't test? Well, he doesn't test them because, you know, they have their own troubles. And I sit there and I look at all these rich people that are not Christians and all these poor people that are getting tested that are Christians. And I'm sitting there like going, I'm going to skip the testing part.
Yeah. I don't do tests well. I think I'll skip that, right?
You know, I'm not kind of interested in the testing. You know, it might make me a better person, but it's not going to be fun while it's happening. I don't think so.
I don't know that you've got to be tested in the way that we're using the term right now in terms of poor people and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think you've got tests all through your life. And how you meet those tests is an indication of who you are and where you are in your journey. I mean, I'm a sci-fi fan, as are you. I have read the Honor Harrington series from, Lord, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And the Graysons, who are an inhabitable planet but filled with heavy metals, so they've got to filter all their air and grow their crops up in space and et cetera, have got kind of a wonderful look and take on that. And they have Father Tester, the Intercessor, and now I'm coming up short on the third one, but it would correspond to the Holy Ghost. And they take that into their lives and make that work. Now, yes, that's a piece of fiction. Okay, it's a science fiction story, is what it is. But it very much points to the testing that we all go through. Maybe not in the same ways, maybe different tests, maybe whatevers. I don't know. But it isn't just poor people. It isn't just rich people. It's how do you respond to whatever your test is. And that happens multiple times in their lives. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. I like that.
I don't like tests.
Yeah, I know. You said.
You know, look, Brian, I have enough obstacles in my life without God adding to them.
Yeah, but you get tested all the time. You do.
That's life. It's simply
exactly.
Life.
Exactly.
It's not tests. It's the entire planet.
Yeah,
and
6
billion people have their own way of doing things.
Okay.
And until I get everyone else on board with me being the one that everyone has to follow, it means that I have to change paths. I have to step in different directions, and I get bumped out of the line. Sooner or later, you guys are going to start listening to me and start following me, and I won't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore.
There you go. There you go.
Brilliant.
But until then, it's life, and life is a test.
Life is life.
Life is a test.
Huh? It's just life.
Well, okay, it's also a test.
People walking in front of me didn't go, there's Tracy, she needs me to bump her out of position today just to kind of get her going in a different direction. Nobody does that.
Really?
Nobody does.
And how did you respond to that today? How did you respond to that today?
I was pissed.
Yeah? And what did you do?
Nothing. I shut up.
Well?
Because for me, I can be pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know how to kind of cut to the marrow. So when I'm really pissed, I tend to shut up.
Okay.
It's really safer for everybody that way.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And then I don't have to try and figure out how to eat my words later.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Words are tough. They really are.
I like my spice drop. Spice
drop. Yeah?
Spice drop. Oh, I can eat spice drops.
I see. But spice drops aren't words.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't like bleeding my words.
Okay, me either. Although I have to every once in a while, but nevertheless.
But when I'm pissed, I try to shut up.
Yep.
Doesn't always work.
Yeah, well,
Usually because I'm pissed. Usually I get pissed when people do things that are fundamentally stupid from their point of view. Not from my point of view, but from their own point of view, they do something stupid. That pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it has an impact upon me.
Sure.
If you do something stupid and it's, from your point of view, it was stupid, odds are it's not going to have any impact on me. You're in California. I'm here in Wisconsin. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But, you know, otherwise, you know, Barack Obama hasn't learned that lesson.
No, he has not. I'm not sure Rahm Emanuel has either.
You know, I think the law. I suggested this to Victoria the other day. I said, you know, in about another year and a half, sometime late next year, Barack Obama is just, people are just going to sit with their mouths dropped to the floor. Because Barack Obama is going to be, at that point, he's going to be president for 2.5 years, going on 3 years. And the narcissist he is, being president for 3 years, you know, where practically everybody goes, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir, thank you, sir, appreciate that, please screw me again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at some point he's going to think that, you know, he deserves it and that any conflict is a direct affront to him. And I think that somewhere around his late next year, that arrogance is just going to be unstoppable. He's going to get in front of the press corps and he's just going to unload on somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be about. But he's going to unload on somebody and the whole planet's just going to sit there with their mouths dropped going like, did he really just do that?
Yeah.
He didn't really just do that, did he? And,
of course he did.
You know, we make all the comments about him and his middle finger during the campaign. I don't think he's going to try any kind of like game like that. I think he's just going to, you know, just unload on somebody, and it's going to be, you know, functionally a peon. I mean, it's going. I don't think it'll be. It might be Sarah Palin. You know, it'll be somebody that, you know, has zero impact upon the presidency. But he's just going to take it so personally, and he's going to be so arrogant about it. He's just going to come out and just, you know, who the fuck do you think you are? I'm the president of the United States, and people are just going to go, what?
Yeah.
I honestly believe it's going to happen because he's just too arrogant not to take 3 years of everybody kowtowing to his every whim and wish and not change. And not have that explode at some point.
Well, you know, I can see that happening. I can see that particularly happening if we take back the House. I can most definitely see that happening if we take both the Senate and the House. Although, frankly, I'm not thinking the Senate's a real possibility, but maybe, who knows. At that point, he's lost his entire, not his base, not the 20% that think he can do no wrong, but he has lost America, and he will know it at that point in time. And once he knows it, I think his ego gets in the way.
Oh, I have no doubt that the ego is going to be a, because you already see it now. You know, you already see it in little fits and spurts now where it's just like, you know, because he does it with Palin. It's absolutely positive that Palin just by existing and talking pisses him off.
Yeah. I mean, here is a ex-governor, did not complete a full term, who's got a Twitter following and a Facebook following. Who is going around the country giving speeches, and he can't not respond to that. He has to, for whatever reason, he has to respond to that. When in fact, if he had an ounce of intelligence, he would simply ignore her. But he doesn't.
You know, and I'm hoping at this point that, well, there's no reason for her to do it, and it would be silly for her to do it. Palin should keep out of the Arizona thing altogether. But if she makes a comment, you know, about what Obama said about Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't noticed that she has. Anybody else noticed if Palin has made any comment about the Arizona law yet?
I haven't seen it.
I'd like to find out if she said anything. I don't think she should. I think it's probably something she's better off staying away from. But if she said something about what he said, then, it's just going to piss him off. I think at this particular point in time, he's been told to shut up about Palin.
Well,
if anybody is intelligent in that White House, they've told him to shut up about Palin. Because every time he opens his mouth, it's good for her.
Yep. I'm absolutely true. And he paints himself into a corner with Governor Palin that any smart-thinking person would avoid like the plague. I mean,
yeah. You know, and this is, I'm going to equate something. You know this, and a couple of other people have known it. I said it a little bit on the show last week. I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks dealing with the liberal trolls, and they're not all liberal trolls. They're just trolls on Twitter.
Yep.
And they are some of the most vile, vulgar.
Oh, yeah.
I've called them a bunch of monkeys throwing shit at the bars while people...
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, it is just that childish. It is that, pathetic in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, I go after them. I don't go after them in the way they go after people. I go after them to show, how stupid and childish they are.
Yes.
You have to get past the shit slinging before you can realize that it's just a bunch of, 12-year-olds, screaming and cackling and throwing stuff.
Exactly. Well, somebody tweeted, and this has been some time ago, but somebody tweeted that when a liberal progressive degenerates to calling you names, declare victory, and walk away because they don't have anything else.
I look at it and go, well, they don't have anything else, so you haven't declared victory. They haven't done anything yet.
Other than call names. But
other
I mean,
than call names,
But that's their default mode.
That's their only mode. Thanks, Pammy. Pammy suggested that she may have said something, but she didn't know what she said.
Okay.
The thing is, what I suggest, that there's a bunch of people that do a lot of the troll work, and there are other people that really just get reamed badly by the trolls. And part of the problem with that is when you get into dealing with the trolls and you start taking it personal, you start reacting in the same way that just, it escalates the whole problem.
Yes.
And that's the problem with Obama, is he takes this stuff personally.
Okay.
And, when he takes it personally, there's just no way for him not to do it. It's a huge mistake, and I don't, maybe Bush went a little bit too far the other side.
Never saying anything.
Yeah, there are attacks on George Bush that he should have ignored, but there are attacks on the presidency that he should not have.
That's true. Absolutely.
And that's kind of where my problem was with George Bush was, if they want to call him Bush Hitler, that's fine. But if they want to say the President of the United States lied about something, that's an entirely different story,
different
storyline that needs to be dealt with.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
He assumed that stuff was personal, and it wasn't. It was very much towards the presidency, and he needed to address those things.
Yes.
Obama, Obama should take this stuff personally right now because we don't have any particular problem with the fact that the Tea Party is not saying anything bad about the presidency.
Nope, not a bit.
You know, right now we're saying that the president is an idiot.
Yes. And I guess he ought to take that personally.
He should take that personally.
Yes,
and
he should
ignore it because it's personal.
Yep. Although, again, I don't think he's able to do that. I mean, I truly don't. I think his MO is that he will respond in kind to whatever gets said, whether that's on a policy position, whether that's a personal attack, doesn't matter. He will respond in kind. And all that does is effectively neutralize him.
Right. It's the exact opposite of what George Bush did.
Yep, absolutely.
George Bush did nothing. Barack Obama is doing everything.
Exactly.
And they're both wrong.
Yes, they are.
You know, George Bush, that affected the presidency. It didn't affect him. Great.
Yep.
This is affecting the presidency. It doesn't really affect Obama. Duh.
Hmm.
You know, because in this particular case, Obama is making himself look unpresidential.
Well, of course, a lot of us have been saying he was unpresidential to begin with, but I'm, you know, beyond that.
You put somebody that's not presidential into the trappings of the presidency, and if they can keep their mouths shut and stay on script, you know, they can look presidential for a very long time.
Yes, they can. Absolutely.
You know, despite the complete inability to do so. Look at Jimmy Carter. No, I'm only kidding.
That's actually a good point.
He doesn't look presidential.
No, he doesn't. Actually, you know, I was going to draw a little corollary here. I went to a candidates' night last night. Three guys are running for sheriff. They have a name of Henley, Potts, and Cox. And they had a 10-minute opening spiel, and then they took questions, and then they had a 5-minute closing spiel. And full disclosure, I've been friends with Dave Cox for a long time, and that's who I intend to vote for. But Henley, in fact, impressed me. Not enough to vote for him, but nevertheless, he's a credible candidate. Potts, on the other hand, is and I don't want to call him a whiner, but he's a we-can't-do-that kind of a guy. His attitude is, we don't control our budget, and they don't. We don't control the laws that come down from the state, and they don't. They operate the sheriff's department on a number of different grants that specify how various people are going to do their jobs and what they can work on and what they can't, and that's true. But he's a we-can't-do-that kind of a guy. The other two are, I don't know precisely how I'm going to do it, but we can do this. And then they put forth some ideas about volunteers and all of this kind of stuff. And as I was thinking about that, and I was comparing and contrasting George Bush and Barack Obama, George Bush was, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we are going to do it. Barack Obama is, we can't do that. We don't have the tools to do that. We're failures. We can't get that done. So we'll have to pass more laws. And I thought, boy, you know, that's a big distinction between people. One of them's, yep, we'll do it. I don't know exactly how, but by God, we're going to do it. And the other is, we can't do that.
Well, you know, I think from a perspective that's probably true. But it's also, it's the exact, also, Obama's the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Name the problem and government can figure out, will spend the money to try and fix it.
Yep. Without any clear idea as to what he's going to do, but by God, if we just get more money into the government's hands, we can fix that problem.
Somebody had a cartoon that they posted. They, it said, it was Pelosi announcing a new bill.
Oh, God.
This 14,000-page bill will fix the 2,500-page health care bill.
Oh, very good.
See, that's government fixing things,
Yes, it is.
Everybody talks funny, so now we're going to mandate how they talk.
Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh, we passed this bill, and lo and behold, it cuts us out of our own health benefits. Whatever shall we do now?
Idiots.
Yeah.
I think somebody's going to run with the, for those people that don't know, the Medicare people, their analysis wing determined that healthcare is going to add $300 billion to the costs.
Hmm.
And the Obama administration had that report before the vote was taken and sat on it.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
So
actually,
the administration
knows it cost
$300 billion more, and they just kept saying, this is revenue neutral, it's revenue neutral, it's revenue neutral.
They gave it to the Health and Human Services entity, who promptly sat on it until a month after the vote had been taken. They got it at least a week before. It took them 3 days to analyze it.
Yeah, so, and of course that's, of course everybody on our side goes, duh. And everybody on the other side went, well, it really doesn't make any difference now that we've got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they wonder why we're angry.
You know?
It's just like, okay.
I'm not angry.
I am.
I'm pissed.
Well, I'm going to get even, too. But I'm angry. I am pissed off.
Why?
There
he
is.
Scorpion is a scorpion.
Yeah.
Why are you pissed that a scorpion is a scorpion?
That's right, and I don't like scorpions either. Shake my boots out every morning. Mm-hmm. And then stomp on them when they come flying out.
In the end, that's my general opinion as far as government is concerned. It's a scorpion.
Yep.
What did you expect?
Exactly. And my expectation is that they will be honest in their dealings. You know what? I understand why you're laughing. And all I'm saying is this. Until we demand honesty, we aren't going to get it.
Yeah. On that note,
yeah.
You think the Republicans are going to be better next year, don't you?
Nope. I don't trust them any further than I can pick up my 3/4-ton truck and throw it. In gear with the parking brake on.
And the
bed
loaded.
That ain't going to happen. Yeah, and loaded with the fifth wheel on it.
With the fifth wheel tag.
That isn't going to happen. It won't happen until we tell them, this is the minimum demand. You will meet it, or you will be gone.
And I over the weekend I had a conversation with somebody that said, "Well, things will be different next year." And I'm like,
"No."
I said, "You understand? The Republicans haven't changed one little bit. They might be saying a few things right now, but even right now, today, this week." Steele and, other leadership people in the GOP are still saying stupid shit.
But the difference now is they're getting pushback on a big-time basis. Now, I don't read E.W. Erickson anymore. I no longer go to Red State. But I do get his morning briefing. And he's given up. No, I'm sorry. It was John Hawkins. John Hawkins has given up on Steele. And specifically over his comments about the GOP hasn't given blacks any reason to vote for him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of when I was...
Now, first off, that's a stupid thing to say. Stupid. Absolutely ignorant. There are plenty of reasons why blacks ought to be voting for conservatives. And I don't care if there's an R after their name or a D after their name or an I after their name. If they're conservative, blacks ought to be supporting them. And they ought to be supporting them because they are the best hope for those people to climb up out of the mire that the Democrats have had them in for the last 40 years.
But see, the attitude is, and this is what it's just drove me crazy. Victoria is probably going to be on dialysis sometime in the next 6 months. It's not going to last. We're not going to make it to the end of the year. It's just not going to happen.
Yep.
You know, she's going to be on dialysis sooner than later. And for those of you that don't know, dialysis is an automatic entry onto Medicare.
Yes.
Okay? It's not a situation where we can go onto Medicare because now they'll let us on. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's a forced issue. You have to go onto Medicare because, one, no insurance covers dialysis. None. Zero.
That's true.
It's just not there. And the hospitals and the clinics that deal with dialysis, it's expensive, and so, you know, you can't do it out of pocket. You know, somebody told me it's $400,000 a year.
Ouch.
Yeah, I can see it. So, and you know, some people are on dialysis for really long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many years. So, you know, somebody said, "What? You know, why are you bitching? You're going to be on Medicare, so, you know, why are you bitching about this?" I said, "I'm not going to be on Medicare. Victoria's going to be on Medicare, but I'm not going to be on Medicare."
Yep.
And they said, "Well, you don't have any. I don't have any ground to stand against the health care reform because Victoria is going to benefit from Medicare."
Oh God.
Bullshit. That's flat out bullshit.
Yep.
Talk
about straw man.
You know, first of all, even if we were married and I was, you know, financially obligated, you know, to take care of her, you know, I'm morally obligated, personally, well, not morally because, you know, I'm amoral, but, you know, I feel my personal, my love for her says I have to do that.
Yep.
It's not even a question. It's not morality, anything, but that's what I do. It's part of it. Take care. But as far as the bills are concerned, you know, even if we're married, it doesn't change anything. So, you know, my principle is my principle, but the people on the left would say, because I benefit from it, I can't say anything about it. Which, of course, you probably get all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
You're a senior citizen. You.
Yep. I'm, you know, oh gosh, well, you're collecting on Social Security and on Medicare. You know, obviously,
don't
you
shut
don't
up.
Like to stand it. Yeah, absolutely. And my absolute instant rejoinder is you give me every penny back that I have ever paid into it with interest, and I will gladly take myself off of it.
Yeah, it's just the attitude that, you know, you can't say anything. Principles really just piss off people nine ways to heck, and Barack Obama is an excellent example of it.
Yes.
And when people tell Barack Obama, "Screw you," you know, he takes it personally.
Yep, he does.
And I wish I could figure out some way to, you know, for me to say things that he would take personally. Because I'd like him attacking me.
Yeah.
I'd take that debate in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. You betcha.
All right, 30 seconds.
Okay, kiddo. Mama Gurkha, Louisa Ma, Just Me Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, Tish and Trish, I'm hoping you listened in too. Thanks for listening if you did.
You know, it's going to be a rather interesting week. We see renal people next week, so it'll be after the show next week.
Okay.
So we won't know till after that. Bill, have a good week. Feel better, dude.
I will do that. Thank you.
Night.
Good night,
all. Into the green room.
Okay.
I won't keep you up.
Thank you. I need to swallow some more pills and go to bed. I'm done. Oh, man.
You did very well, sir. You did very well. You hung in there.
I did. It was good.
Yeah. Okay. Right. It's the excitement.
Yeah, there you go. Get up for the show. You betcha.
All right, you guys, you have a good week. I'll let you go. I'm going to talk for a couple minutes, and then, I'm off too.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
For all the rest of you, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on here. Arizona was the big deal today. It's going to be continuing to be a big deal, whether it goes to the law or not. I did want to talk about financial regulation a little bit. I'm calling it financial deform, not reform. For those of you that are even remotely interested in the idea that we want to start regulating people like GS and such like that, the regulation that's being proposed will do nothing of the kind. This is a power grab for the executive branch and a quiet pat on the back and a shove off to the side. We don't want to kill the golden goose to the financial markets. It has nothing to do with preventing the next crash. So do not let anybody sucker you into the idea that this is financial reform that will actually do anything. This is a power grab by the executive branch, and it will protect the financial community. It will not monitor them or supervise them. So please don't get bought by that. Other thing that we're seeing based on some of my petitions over the last 2 weeks, the economy is getting worse. So the shoe is getting further down. Be prepared. Things are going to be next week. Actually, later on this week, we'll have the first GDP numbers for last quarter. Those numbers should be pretty good. Based on the numbers that we've seen, do not let it, lull you into a sense that things are getting better. They are not, by any stretch of the imagination. All right, everyone have a good week. Stay up, stay firm. And Bill and I will be back next week. Have a good, safe week.